Well, would you stand to your feet and would you clap your hands in praise to God? Amen. Stand with me for one more moment or two. Clap your hands and glorify God. Hallelujah. You are our God and we worship you. And we praise your name. Come on, lift your voice. God, you are good and you are worthy. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful today for the faithfulness of God. Yes. That at all times, in all ways, in all circumstances, situations, good, bad, high, low, mountain, valley, victory, defeat, season, he remains the same. The circumstances of man does not diminish God from who he is and the goodness that he is and the grace that he gives and the mercy. The word tells us that he delights in mercy. And I'm thankful that God delights in giving you and giving me mercy. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? The events of this last few weeks, last week, week before, we've seen things happen in our country that are just profoundly affecting us. We see a man assassinated. It's put in front of us in media. We see a young lady senselessly killed with no thought. We read the headlines of tragedy, of all the things that are happening around this world, and wars and rumors of wars. And we see the sadness in people's lives and on their faces. And at times, I don't know about you, but as far as me this week, I just had to shut some things off. It got to the point where I needed to stop seeing it. And I needed to stop hearing it. And I needed to bring my attention back to where it needed to be. And I think somewhat of what we have felt, because most of us in this room are detached. We don't know people. We don't know who they are. We really don't know. We know of them. We know of the situation. We know the circumstance. But there's something deeply resonating within us. And I hope you'll sense this, that it is the reason why you are feeling what you are feeling is because it is the core of our spirituality. Right. It is the call of the Spirit. It's something in God is saying, this is effective. You need to take notice. You need to look around. You need to set your house in order because he's soon to return. Amen. And I've had a week, and I'm sure you've had a week too, and we all have weeks, don't we? We all have days. And honestly, I can stand behind this pulpit and tell you that I do not have all the answers. I do not have all the answers. But I do know the one that is the answer. His name is Jesus. I can assure you that if you have questions in your mind today, you can go to him. And while he may not give you the yes or the no or the definitive way that you want to understand things, I know that he will give you peace that passes understanding in the presence of pain and sorrow and difficulty. And there will be a day. I don't know how it's all going to be because I have a certain thought about it biblically, but there's going to be certain things that we just never know on this side of Jordan that we'll never be able to grasp or comprehend. Amen? Anybody found that already in their life? You've faced things, you've dealt with things, you've had sickness, you've had death, you've had life just come at you, and on this side of Jordan, you're just not going to be able to define it. But one day, yes. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Come on, do you know that song? Sing it loud. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome. And we'll understand it better by and by. Come on, sing it now. Oh, by. When.
All
and will. Come on, you can sing it again. I want you to lift your voice now and sing by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Aren't you looking forward to that day to be with Jesus? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, God. Come on, give Him thanks right now that you have a hope and you have a promise. And someday better by and by. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad that you're in this room. And doesn't it sound good? Huh? And aren't you glad you're sitting on those chairs and been standing on this concrete? Amen. Here in just a second, you're going to sit and I'm going to stand for the rest of the time. I'm just glad we're here together in the next couple of weeks in this room. And I'm glad you're here. We can just worship God. And we can be thankful unto Him. We can bless His name. And to all our guests, as been said already, we're so glad you're here. Normally we're in the sanctuary, but we're here and we're glad to do that. And we're thankful to God. Isn't God faithful and good to you? Yes. Let the church say amen. Amen. The book of 1 Kings in the 17th chapter, and we are looking at the 8th verse. Now walk with me for a few moments in the Word and understand what God is saying to us. And the word of the Lord came unto him in verse number 8 of the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. It's important to understand that at this particular place in the Word, there was an extreme famine. An extreme drought and famine had come to the land. And she was going to fetch it as she was going to fetch it. He called to her and said also, if you would, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Walk with me as we talk about poured out. Poured out. Father, I love you, and I thank you. Oh God, in your good grace, in your sovereignty, in the providence of who you are, that you see us, and you know us, and you care for us, and you, Lord, have made provision for us in ways that often we cannot see or comprehend. And so today, God, we come to you thankful, and we come to you willing. Every one of us in this house, I pray, God, would hear and understand this word, and that you would help us, Lord, that we would be this vessel that would be poured out, that would be honoring to you, faithful to you, trusting you, knowing, God, that you are the provision of our life, and that you are the one that strengthens, establishes us, and settles us, God. And so I pray today, God, in your name, Jesus, I pray, Father, help us to receive this and to respond to it. And we believe, anoint me and anoint this people, and I thank you. Would you lift your voice in praise and worship to God again right now? I love you, Lord. To God be the glory. You're great. And there is none like you, Jesus. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. I bless your name, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Let the church say, in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. Amen. God, in his good nature, working beyond what the eye can see or the heart understand, allowed there to be a famine. I want to repeat it. In his good nature, working beyond what the eye can see, what the heart can understand, God allowed there to be a famine. There was a famine in the land. Those were the words. Those words alone were enough to tell the tale of what the people of the land were facing. Water running dry, food, nothing more than mere morsels, even if it could be found. It would be in that condition and in that chaos that God would send Elijah the prophet to a place called Zarephath, where he would find a widow woman and her son that would ultimately sustain him. Elijah asked her to give to him a drink of water. That in itself, that petition in itself, it was a request that would have given anyone pause in this moment in the word. Just the petition, just the asking, would give me a drink of water, because water was precious. A drink of water could literally mean another day to live for most in that time. But it was his next petition that stopped her in his steps to the water. While she was going to fetch it, the word said that Elijah asked her for a morsel of bread. The water was one thing, but the bread, that was another. This was substance. The bread was substance. The water could flow through the hands. The water was in a category by itself, but the bread, the morsel of bread, the cake, this was substance. This was tangible. Do you understand this? This was the tangible thing that could be held in her hand. In fact, the word worded it as such. He said, bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand. He was asking her to tangibly take the thing that she was going to make to sustain her and her son and to bring it in her hand and hand it to him. He was asking her to let go of the thing that would give her another day of life. The security, the comfort of just knowing that it was there, if nothing more, for hope to be held to. He was asking her to let go of it for a moment, to release the grasp, to let it pass from her hand to his. She said to him, I don't have a cake right now. I don't have it. I just don't have it. I don't have it right now, but all I've got is just a handful of flour in a barrel and a little oil that's in a vessel that I'm going to pour out. I'm gathering two sticks to make it, and then my son and I will eat, and we'll make it, we will eat it, and then we're just going to die. That was to be her epitaph. That was her view and hold on life. A little flour, a little oil, then die. Make a cake, eat it, then tomorrow we're just going to die. But this man of God asked her to let it go, to make for him a cake first, to give from her hand to his the thing that would make them live. He told her that if she would do so and make for him and herself and her son this piece of bread, then from that moment on, that moment of release, that moment of willingness, of surrender, the flour would not fail and the oil would not run dry till God would send rain once again. We can only imagine, at least in my mind's eye, I can only imagine. I thought of this greatly last night. I thought of the capacity of a handful. I thought of what I could reach in, her hand possibly being smaller than mine, and if I reached into that place of flour and pulled out what I could, it wouldn't make much. I can only imagine when he stopped her and the long pause with the silence that must have been deafening as she stood there, standing there, debating in her mind after the question, bring me a piece of bread first. standing there questioning and wondering what the outcome would be and what was on the other side of her sacrifice. Be sure about this. This was about a choice between her way and God's. That's really what this was. It came down to a choice about, will I follow my way or will I follow the way of God? Obedience or self-will that would rebel against his word, asking her to give of her faith. This was an issue that was deeper. It was deeper, as most issues are in our life. This was deeper than their belly. It was more than just the hunger pains that they were going through. I've never seen a problem in anybody's life on the surface that did not have something deeper that was going on beneath. That's just the truth. I've never seen somebody going through something, struggling with something on the surface of their life that was presented in the flesh of their life that first was not found in the heart of their life. This was about obedience to the word of God, submission to what was right, not just what fed her flesh. It was much, much more than just feeding her flesh. The blessing was contingent. It was contingent on this one defining act, to reach her hand into the barrel and empty its contents and pour the last drop of oil out onto it and make the bread that would make them live. It can often be the most difficult places of our life to be found in, those moments where we do not see where the provision is going to come from. We do not see the answer to the problem. We don't see the solution to the need that's in front of us. The pain is still present. The sin still desired. The fear still felt. But still, nonetheless, God asks of us in that moment, in that darkness, if you would, he asks of us to obey, to have faith, to trust his perfect way, even when our want and our will restrains and resists what he is doing. When we cannot see, the truth is, the blessing was not just found in the continuation of the flour and the oil. The blessing was found in the willingness first to be poured out. We often look that the blessing is what we make from what God has given us, when the truth is that the blessing is found in the submission to the will of God before there is ever the provision of God that we hold in our hands. Are you understanding this right now? And often, Job said it that way, if you would. Job, at one particular point, and I've talked to you about it so many times before, Job said, I look for you on the left hand where you work and I did not see you. And there are times that God asks of us to trust him in the blind spots of our life. The very vulnerable places where we don't see the provision and we don't understand how he's going to do it and we don't know what to do with the moment that we are in, and we feel frustrated and we feel fearful, and because we are of the nature, every one of us men in the pulpit, everybody in these chairs, we are of the nature that we want something tangible to hold to, that we can find security in, and that we believe that it's going to always be there because, after all, we possess it. But sometimes your greatest blessing is found in the release of what you are trusting in. Often our receiving of the provision to our prayer, look at this please, the provision to our prayer is found in our willingness to release the security of self to the sovereignty of our Savior Jesus Christ. The provision of the prayer, the thing that we are asking God for, it is found in the willingness to release the security of myself. We hold so tightly to our self-security that we can often not hold to him. And that is the truth, because everything's at our beck and call. Most everything that we need is just down the street, if you would. It's just a drive-through away. It's just an ATM, just down the street. It's a phone call away. We've got everything in our culture, it seems like, that we need. But sometimes you find yourself in those places where you're not going to be satisfied with what you're buying, and you're not going to be satisfied with what you're doing, and what you've been in a habit in or a haunt in your life, it's not going to last anymore. What you have to do is you have to give it to God, and you trust him that on the other side of it, there's going to be something that will make you live on. Like a blind Bartimaeus on a roadside, there is the need to leave behind the cloak that we have too often wrapped ourselves in that keep us secure in our sinful state. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. This was Bartimaeus. What is it that you are holding on to and is holding on to you that is keeping you from faith in Christ? There must come that place in our life where we realize that the beggar's coat is not worth remaining blind for. It has to be let go of. Come on, somebody today that is bound by some sin in your life, that is incarcerated, if you would, with something. Maybe it's your past or maybe it's your present. You're incarcerated with what has been and what has surrounded you. It is not worth dying for. It is not worth being blinded by. That flour and that oil is not worth, you gotta walk a little deeper in the word here to understand what I'm getting ready to say. That flour and that oil is not worth dying over. I recognize it was a handful. I recognize she had gathered the sticks. I recognize she had a little bit of oil and she was planning on fixing it, eating it, and dying, her and her son. It's that little bit of oil that you're hanging on to, that you're holding back from God, that place in your heart. Anybody with me right now? That place in your heart, that place in your life that is unsurrendered to God. Can I tell you, it is not worth dying over. It might satisfy you for a minute. It might make you happy for a moment, but can I tell you, it's not going to make you live for eternity. Amen. Come on, you've got to give it to God. You've got to surrender it to him. Stop living that way. Stop thinking that that's the security that you need. You need the security that only Jesus can offer to you. Amen. Amen. We are too often filled with the things of life that occupy spiritual space of our life unknowingly at times. I believe this. I believe what I'm telling you right now. The things that occupy spiritual space in our life, and often we don't know that it's occupying that spiritual space because we are so consumed with the things that surround us and that occupy our mind and our attention and our affections, if you would, that it's so crowded up next to us that we don't have time to look around and see the absence of God or what God would do in us and through us. It is the curse of our culture. It is the busyness of the day. It's we gotta get up and we gotta go and we don't stop till the end of the day. And our time and our life is so filled and preoccupied, and all the while we walk past the moments that Jesus would do something in us and through us and provide for us in ways that we have not been able to calculate because we've had our hands full. Amen. Amen. We think we can't live without them, like the flour and the oil. We debate with God. Do you see this? She debated with God. I can't move. The camera's supposed to, I'm supposed to stay right here in the camera. I keep wanting to move out, so forgive me if I act awkward up here. I don't know what to do. She had this thought that if I can just hold on to that, it's for me and my sons. Come on, sometimes God is saying, come on, that is not for you. That is for me. That's not for you to hold on to. That's for you to let go of. We hold tight to the preoccupations, the problems, and the fear, and the offense, not letting the forgiveness be poured out on ourselves and others. Somebody hear me right now. I'm going to repeat it. We hold tight to the preoccupations, and the problems, and the pain, and the fear, the offense, and we don't let go to allow forgiveness to be poured out on ourselves and others, and all the while trying to satisfy the hunger for what we are longing for when it's in our capacity to give it to God and let him heal and help us. Come on, if you're harboring unforgiveness today, let it go and see what God will do for you. If somebody wronged you along the way, amen, forgive them if they never come to you. And ask for forgiveness. Let it be that you dwell and you live in forgiveness. And pour it out to set them free and to set yourself free. Only when she poured it out could it be filled again. This is a difficult thing. This is a difficult thing for me to understand at times. Only when I pour out of myself can I be filled again. Only when it was empty could something greater in God be had. Only when she was willing to part with it. Faith Faith always asks of us for more than we can understand. Faith always asks for more. There's always a risk. Please, someone, understand this. There is always a risk in loving and forgiving. There's always a risk in it. It leaves the cloak of comfort on the road, if you would, that we have been used to begging on behind. That's what forgiveness, that's what faith asks for, that's what love asks for. To leave behind things that we have wrapped ourselves in, that we identify ourselves with, the beggar's coat that we have been comfortable with. And sometimes our life, and especially after offenses, and I recognize I'm speaking to a crowd today and that knows the word and knows the Lord for the most part, but still nonetheless, sitting on a padded pew year after year, season after season, we become desensitized if we are not careful and jaded to the wooing and the moving of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God in our life leading us. And we begin to hold on to things and we justify ourselves. Everybody with me? You okay? We justify ourselves in those things and we wrap it around us so tightly that we can't let it go. We can't forgive. We can't love. We can't have faith. We can't believe because it's just too comfortable to do anything otherwise. When God asks of us to be different and to let him heal. Really, God is asking you simply today to make room for a miracle. That's what he's doing. For Jesus to pour something into us, but we often first must be emptied of ourselves. You see that? The vessel of flour, the vessel of oil could not have been filled unless there was first the willingness to be poured out. The miracle cannot be received unless we are willing to let go of our flesh so that the Spirit can do what it needs to do in us and through us. He must increase, but I must decrease. In a day and time where we are taught the opposite. In a day and time we are taught the opposite of this scripture. The word tells us that we find more of him and the less of us. When it is less of me, I find more of him. I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. I don't know about you, but this man, I find it very, very difficult to get me out of the way sometimes. I get in my own headspace, and I was praying it up here just a minute ago. I put my hands on my head, and I said, oh, God, help me to bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of you, Jesus Christ, because my worst enemy is often not the devil, but me. Oh, he's out there. He's working. But sometimes the greatest enemy is myself. And I find my thoughts getting the best of me and myself getting in the way when God would just want to flow through me. Yes. But the only way that God can flow through me is for me to be poured out to him. Our best plans that are put in place are nothing, if you would, musicians. They're nothing compared to what he has prepared for us when we trust him. I found it again and again and again to be the truth, and I know you have as well. And still I'll find myself in a place of faithlessness. And I'll find myself in a place of questioning and complaining and wanting to work it out my way when the truth of the matter is my best plans pale in comparison to the goodness and the greatness that God has ready for me waiting if I will just simply trust him. Her plan was to make the bread, eat the meal, and die the next day. That was her diagnosis. The outcome she had already decided, the prognosis for all that she had. When we do that, understand that when we determine it before God has had his moment to work in us, when we do that, we can leave the divine intervention of God out and miss the miracle that he wants to do for us, in us, and through us. After this manner, pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Everybody say, in earth. As it is in heaven. After this manner, pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I've talked to you about this before. Thy will be done in earth. Not thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done in earth. In this earthen vessel. Thy will be done in earth. Not just on the earth, but in this earth. Amen. In my vessel. In this clay that I am. God, thy will be done. Thy will be done, Father, not what I will, not what I see, not what I want, not what I think, but thy will be done in me. You ought to pray that prayer. You ought to pray that prayer right now before we leave this house today. Thy will be done in earth. Thy will be done in this vessel. You ought to pray that prayer. God, pour me out. Help me to pour out for you. And God, fill me, fill the void with the thing that will make me live on and not die. The flour and the oil didn't fail. It was there every day till the rain came again. The famine may remain in your life. Please don't misunderstand this message today. The famine may remain, but so will the miracle. Just because the difficulty is not gone, the day is not different, it does not mean that the miracle stops just because there's a famine around you. The miracle that he will sustain you with, Jesus will save you. Now, you may feel like it's just a handful, just a little bit, not much, but there's more life in that handful that you cannot see. You just have to pour it out. You might think, I don't have much to offer. I don't have much to give. I'm minimal at best. But hear me. When God comes on the scene and begins to work in your life and the circumstance that you're dealing with, can I tell you, God can take a handful of flour and oil and he can perform a miracle in your life and he can be glorified in it and it's going to be for your good. Come on, I'm asking somebody. You can sit, you can stand, whatever you want to do. But right now, I'm just asking you to begin to pray with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Come on, begin to pray right now. God, I want your will more than I want my will. I want your way in my life more than I want my way. I don't see how you're going to do it, God. And I don't know what you're going to do, but I do know you, Lord. You're faithful. You're just. You're good. You're kind. And you're working all things together for my good. But sometimes, hear me, come on, pray, church. God, help me just to pour out. Help me just to pour out of myself and to believe, God, in the thing that I do not see and the thing that I do not know and the thing that I cannot understand or define, God, so that you're glorified through me in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray with me now all over this room, church. Come on, believe God for what you're praying for.